Good afternoon and welcome to Stage Talk, a weekly conversation about local theater. My name is Mark Muro.
And I'm Jean Paul, and today our guests are Dick Reichman and Eric Hayden, here to talk about Cyrano's upcoming production of The Ballad of Soapy Smith. Now, I understand that everybody in Alaska is familiar with the tourist version, but this isn't the tourist version. Tell me about it.
No, this was actually written by a real playwright, Michael Weller, who is most famous, I guess, for the play Moonchild. And he also wrote the script for Ragtime, the movie.
Il Doctro, yeah. And, James Cagney's last movie.
And this is a show, actually, that the founders of Cyrano's Theater, Jerry and Sandy Harper, saw when it opened at the Seattle Rep back in the early 80s.
83
it was.
This was the when they inaugurated the new building down there.
Mm-hmm. Ah, really? So you know about that, yeah. Uh-huh. And it's a huge production, which is probably why it's not done that much. The playwright's actually coming up to see it, and I keep wondering if, because it has such a huge cast and such a complex production, maybe he hasn't seen it that often. So he's coming up to see what the thing looks like.
They did
like
it in New York, too.
They also took the Seattle production pretty much to Joe Papp's Public
Joe
Theater.
Papp, exactly, public. Yeah. Uh-huh.
So all this is a way of telling you this is not the comic melodrama. This is a...
This is like, you don't see this Cabin Nights up in Denali, or this isn't something you'd see, like, you know, in a dinner theater kind of tourist. The bus pulls up and you know, the portly guy with a beard comes out and, you know, gold pan.
Well, we've got a lot of portly guys with beards, and we've got the girls in the Gold Rush dresses, but they're actually playing real roles here instead of
Soapy Smith's a very complicated character, and that's who you play, Eric Hayden.
That's right.
You're the eponymous guy. And I've always noticed, like, there's a veneration of the kind man, wherever there's like easy money, you know, in come the body workers, whatever you call it, you know, the prostitutes, mm-hmm. and then the con men and the saloon people and everything like that, because there's a lot of, like, you know, chumps to be fleeced, mm-hmm. marks, what do you call them in the play, the folks who are, you know, citizens.
You can call them by several different names, really. The main thing as far as con men are concerned is they're such fascinating characters because of the fact that when you see them and you meet them, they seem like, you know, a person you'd want to meet. They seem like a person that you'd like to get to know, and that makes them so easy to get along with, and then that's how they get you, is they just become like, you know, someone that's, hey, I'm instantly your best friend, and like, sure, I want to get to know you, and the next thing you know, your money's gone, and you're out on the street, and you're wondering what happened.
They gain your confidence.
Yeah, that's why they're called confidence men, yeah.
Right. And Soapy Smith had a long career of doing this in a lot of frontier. He was in Colorado and some other places that he came here, and this was his, what town did he operate? In Skagway?
In Skagway, that's where the play is all based. So it's all done. This play is all based around his time, the year and a half that he was in Skagway from 1897-98. Now that we're in the 2000s, we kind of have to say that. before that, he was all through Denver, and he actually went through a lot of different places after he got kicked out of Denver and Creed. He was all over the place. And you very fascinating man. The play itself is interesting in that it's becomes a little bit of an inspired by version, in that there's a lot of variation from the actual history, but it keeps lots of the actual history story intact. But there's like little details that are changed for dramatic effect. So it'll be interesting to see the people who are, you know, history buffs going to see this play, to see how they react to those changes and how they feel about it.
Well, it's interesting to me, having lived in small town Alaska, that this play really gives you the portrait of how the city fathers and the businesses in town work with various levels of scam and planning. And it kind of opens up the whole social history of Soapy Smith. It's really a social history with a lot of characters, and it just shines a light on small town life.
Mm-hmm. It was also a good kind of timeless piece in that around that time, where the birth of the industrial era is also around the birth of modern capitalism. And so it's a very interesting play in that it's kind of gives you an inlay into how modern politics and how modern capitalism got its foothold and how it started becoming what it is now. And it's, you know, that's part of the tragedy of it, and that's part of the beauty of the play, is how it describes that and unveils that.
You're the director, Dick. How do you manage all these people on that little stage? It always amazes me.
Well, it's interesting. The production in Seattle must have been gorgeous. It must have been like a full opera mm-hmm. with flown sets mm-hmm. and everything. The description in the script is tremendous. It was really a matter of reducing the physical production down to a small black box. And by doing so, I think we've done a little abstraction of the physical setting, relying on we have intense costuming, very realistic costuming, which is a big deal. Lynn Murphy, our costumer, is working monstrously long hours. But the set has been somewhat abstracted, and there's just a lot of different ways in which I hope the playwright's pleased. I've tried to shrink this thing down to our small theater. And I think it works. You know, it really is a storytelling show. You'll get caught up, if we're successful, in the plot. And the plot will carry you forward. So the shrinking, I think, does not detract from the storytelling, which is the real essence of this show, a complex, detailed bunch of characters and complex story that I think Michael Weller, I hope he'll be pleased with our shrinking of his script, but we'll be telling that story in any case. And by the way, I think Sandy Harper wants me to mention, this is part of a series of historical Alaskan plays, which the theater will be doing during the next year. Followed, the next show is going to be by Arlisha Jones.
Yeah, well, this is part of the 50th anniversary of statehood.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, and then there'll be a third play by Jack Dalton. And
Peter Porco's doing one, and it began with Libby.
Yeah.
For those of you who are just tuning in, this is Stage Talk, here with our guests, Dick Reichman and Eric Hayden, talking about Cyrano's upcoming production of The Ballad of Soapy Smith, and actually Cyrano's whole season, which is all in honor of the anniversary of statehood.
Yeah, so this is a historic drama, but it's not the melodrama. We can't stress mm-hmm. this enough. So
there's a little melodrama in there.
Yeah. Is there a play within a play or something like that? There has to be.
No.
But, no?
But
because,
some,
I mean, yeah, because I saw a really good show up in Fairbanks, but it was like along those lines.
I don't mean melodrama as a comic. I mean melodrama in the real sense.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
Yeah. But, you know, mm-hmm. it's so funny, like this whole Americana at its most American, like Eric was saying, this whole concept of like development and progress.
Right.
I mean, of course you're going to have people in there who really don't have your best intentions at heart, that they're mm-hmm. greedy.
Mm-hmm.
And greed does, you know, in a lot of cases, run the show.
Right.
And people, they take what they can get as quick as they can get it, and then they're gone. You know, the carpet-bagging type of mentality.
What's interesting about this play, Michael Weller has the take on it, and I don't know how historic this is. Eric's done more reading on this story. Soapy Smith came as a crook. And when he tried to straighten his life out, when he starts to do things right, that's when the plot begins to
unravel,
and his downfall is sown in his efforts to make his life a more moral one. And mm-hmm. to join the regular mm-hmm. ranks of society, that's his downfall. Well, so it's a marvelous irony. And I don't know, Eric, how true is that to the history?
Well, I mean, there is a certain amount of truth to that. I don't think in actual history it goes quite to this extent. But this is it's a very fascinating story in that it says, what would it be if Soapy did go this far and it was went to this just one level further than he was really going in his real life to take it to that extent? Because Soapy was such a fascinating man in that he had this incredible dichotomy of one end, he's this criminal who's fleecing people, but on the other end, he helped build churches for towns, helped build schoolhouses, helped build all these different things and get towns built up. He did it in Denver and Creed. He did
just
it
like
up here.
With, you know, the Madoff libraries.
Yeah, yes.
Right. Yeah. Well, these robber barons and stuff, mm-hmm. like a lot of the big fortunes, these you know, venerable families
right.
who are just so altruistic now, you know, they made their money with slave trading. Mm-hmm. with opium trading later on, and then, you know, bootlegging, for instance, like the Kennedys, for instance, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, this is, you know, we have one generation the gangster, then they want to be legitified and, you know, mm-hmm. they become pillars of society.
Right, well, that's the problem is, like, he, in trying to make that transfer, the you know, people just don't quite trust him enough, and he's not able to make that switch like a lot of people do make. And that's what's rings universal about it is that we see that in a lot of different families that were able to make that switch and were able to become what are considered pillars of society now, and they were at one time those.
He was a solo agent too, so he didn't have the family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it follows playwriting rule number one. You have to have a character who changes
mm-hmm.
in the course of the play. to have a good play.
Mm-hmm.
It's the change that we're interested in that makes people want to watch.
Yeah.
Well, you've been here a long time, Gene, and stuff. You've probably seen a lot of these, you know, the boom and the bust cycle, and on the boom, the crest of that, all these con men come surfing in. I mean, I remember telling people about some things that were perpetrated upon me, for instance, and like in the early 80s when there was still a lot of money and still a lot of these characters running around, and I'd see their face light up with a smile like, hey, why didn't I think of that? That's a pretty good one, you know? I mean, there was very little sympathy for the chump. It was just like, well, that's what happens, because it seems like to be less of a crime when the person is in on their own collusion. It's still ripping somebody off, but, you know, you do it face-to-face, like you said, with a smile. You got to be charming. Sociopathic, pretty much. Mm-hmm. You know, and these people are geniuses.
Oh, yeah.
If they would put their just a fraction of that energy to something in the legitimate world that's legal, you know, they'd be so much more successful. You know, the criminals just put out a tremendous amount of brain power and energy, you know.
You know, what's interesting about this little corner of Gold Rush history, though, is in Skagway, as in Valdez, here in this part of Alaska, the gold rush was a bust. All these people set up to rip off the miners and rip off everybody else, but there was no gold in those places.
In the Klondike itself, I mean, the initial rush of the there was three different boats that came down that had lots of money on them, but basically that was the mother load of it. After that, it was just trickling funds from there on out.
By the time you hear, just like the stock market, by the time you hear about the stock tip, it's over, it's done.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's lining up to give somebody a bunch of money, and there's none, you know, it's kind of like the old Ponzi scheme, kind of. And who made the money? The people selling the supplies.
Right.
The Bisquick.
Part of what makes this a fascinating one is that it was really kind of one of the last official individual gold rushes. After this, mining companies took over, and there were no real gold rushes anymore.
Except for the black gold rush.
Oh, yes. I was here before and after that, and that's exactly what it was. It was a rush. You should have seen Fourth Avenue in those days. Mm-hmm. And I guess it was even worse in Fairbanks.
Should have seen Valdez during the oil spill.
Oh!
That was the black gold rush.
The spillionaires,
yeah.
Well, going back to your start of the set problem. I never need a set in my play. Maybe it's because I listen to radio plays so often. However, it looks like we're now going to have to bring this to a close. We're running out of time. I want to thank you for coming, Dick Reichman and Eric Hayden, and here to tell us about the Ballad of Soapy Smith, which is not the Ballad of Soapy Smith you think it is, opening up at Cyrano's on the 13th of February. And now it's time for the Stage Talk calendar. Valley Performing Arts at the Makatense Theater presents the Spitfire Grill. It's currently running tonight at 8 p.m. and runs other Fridays and Saturdays at 8 p.m. with a Sunday matinee at 2 p.m. through February 15th. For tickets and more info, call Valley Performing Arts at 373-0195, that's 373-0195, or go to valleyperformingarts, all one word, .org.
And Cyrano's presents the Ballad of Soapy Smith. This show opens on Friday, February 13th, with a special preview the day before, Thursday the 12th. And playwright Michael Weller will be here for the play's opening and will be giving a workshop that afternoon of the play's opening, which is Friday the 13th. The playwright will have this workshop for anybody who is interested in playwriting or the process of playwriting. And this show will go on through March the 1st, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at 7, and Sunday at 3. For tickets, call 263-ARTS or go to centertix.net, or if you want some information about the playwright Michael Weller talking about the Ballad of Soapy Smith, call Cyrano's at 274-2599.
Well, that's it for this week's Stage Talk. Thanks for listening. Until the next time, I'm Jean Paul.
And I'm Mark Muro for KSKA.